Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever been the recipient of wonderful generosity, but then discovered there were strings attached that complicated the situation and perhaps even caused you to feel cheated or betrayed? Yesterday, I left you in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago as a remarkable thing was happening. Jerusalem was being turned upside down by a spiritual revolution accomplished by God's Holy Spirit at work in radically transformed people who had put their trust in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. One of the amazing evidences of changed lives was outrageous generosity as these new Jesus followers were sharing their resources with those in great need. In Acts chapter 4, verse 36, we are introduced to a man caught up in this euphoria. His name is Joseph, a Levite from the island of Cyprus. Joseph sold a field he owned, and he brought the proceeds to the apostles to be used to help those in need as the Holy Spirit led them, according to Acts 4, verse 36 and 37. This Joseph had a nickname, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. The bar portion of Barnabas means son of. Perhaps this means Barnabas had the great privilege of growing up in a joy-filled family who were always looking for ways to be a blessing of encouragement to other people. It appears Barnabas had learned a vital economic principle. Material things can be both a blessing and a curse, depending on how you view the resources and allow them to influence your life. Have you learned that lesson, my friends? Repeatedly, God had challenged his people to understand that he, Almighty God, is creator, sustainer, and owner of all resources. And furthermore, God entrusts resources to people to manage and use for the good of humanity and the glory of God. Do you understand this fundamental principle in life? Are you living it, ignoring it, or rejecting it? How do you know? Here's a test. While your name is on your bank account, or the title deed to your home, or the car you drive, or even if you tend to say, my home, or my clothes, or my golf clubs, or my investments, how did those things come into your possession? Has God faithfully supplied for your needs? Has God even blessed you with more than your basic necessities in life? Why did God bless you with all that you have? If all you and I have is God supplied, then does God have authority over it all to direct you and me in how God wants any and all of it to be used to accomplish his purposes in our world? Can we see ourselves as resource partners with God? Do you see the exciting privilege of God channeling his resources through you and me to accomplish his purposes? Now that is a life-changing resource management philosophy straight from heaven. It's radical, and I urge you to pause to consider how close or far your heart is to the truth of God's authority over all God's resources. Moses used all of Deuteronomy chapter 8 to explain this concept to the Hebrew slaves as they fled their captivity, carrying the bounty of Egypt with them, according to Exodus chapter 12, and finally, as they prepared to enter the land of God's promise. If you haven't read that chapter lately, I urge you to do so today. And if you want to understand God's design for resources more clearly, add 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 10, and invite the Holy Spirit to help you understand how to live the God-given principles you'll find there. It's a very exciting way to live an abundant life under the lordship of Jesus, according to John 10, verse 10. Barnabas had embraced Deuteronomy chapter 8 and evidently built his personal financial philosophy upon those principles. Barnabas discerned the Holy Spirit was guiding him to sell a field that he owned because the resources would be better used to meet very real human need, especially among those now trusting Jesus to be their Savior, Lord, and Messiah in Jerusalem. Pause. Have you ever sensed God leading you to do something dramatic with resources which you have? Was that a struggle for you? If so, why? Now, when we hear the word resources, probably we think of money, right? But may I urge you to widen your scope? Resources, from God's perspective, include all our God-given time. You and I cannot fabricate 1 minute of time. And also, God's resources are our talents, our personality, our relationship, and anything, including finances, which we feel we have the authority to use or dispense. Have you discovered the thrill of discerning the Holy Spirit leading you to use resources for God's glory, especially in meeting needs which God brings to your awareness? Luke, the author of the book of Acts, does not tell us exactly what the value of Barnabas' field was, nor what the apostles did with the money. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, we meet a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, who evidently heard about the generosity of Barnabas, and they followed suit. Tomorrow, we'll look closely at how Ananias and Sapphira contradicted and defiled the generosity of Barnabas and what it cost them as God reacted with judgment. For today, I'd like to urge you to take the time to read or listen to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 10, and then write down in your journal what the Holy Spirit of God tells you about God's attitudes toward our use of all the resources God supplies to us. Furthermore, I urge you to consider writing out in your journal your personal financial philosophy. What guides you in how you handle the resources which God daily entrusts to you? How often do you sit with God, seeking to know God's guidance for your attitudes, your choices, and your use of the resources God has given you? Do you sense that God has some very significant things He would like to include you in with Him in 2026 if you'll learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your resource utilization, as Barnabas was learning? This is so important. We're going to pause right here and take time to dig into the lessons learned study notes at the link below. And I urge you to make time today for serious evaluation of what Barnabas did and how that compares to how you and I handle resources. Tomorrow, we'll see a dramatically different action by Ananias and Sapphira, and you may be shocked at God's response. A worship song is ready for you, of course, and I'll meet you here tomorrow in Acts chapter 5.